It's a pleasure to be here tonight. Visitors, you are honored guests. We invite you to come again if you're willing. And, I mean, please stay around afterwards because we want to get to know you. I would like to thank Mr. Terry and the elders for giving me this opportunity. I always relish these moments because it's a chance for me to share with you something that I've learned or taken from my studies and hopefully give you something that you can apply in your everyday lives as a Christian. Tonight, I will be preaching on lessons we can learn from Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, not Abednego, Odad. If you'll turn to Daniel chapter 3, we'll be starting in verse 8. And while you're turning there, we'll recap what happened in the first 7 verses. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, basically the greatest country in the world at the time, has set up a golden image, 60 cubits, 90 feet tall, I think. And he says, anytime you hear any kind of music whatsoever, you're to turn, face the statue, and bow down before it. And anyone who does not bow before it will be burned to death in a fiery furnace. So we're going to be starting in verse 8, where we see 3 men who did not bow. Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and maliciously accused the Jews. They declared to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that every man who hears the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoever does not fall down and worship the golden image shall be cast into a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, pay no attention to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in furious rage, commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said to them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? Now if you are ready, when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music, to fall down and worship the image that I have made, well and good. But if you do not worship, you shall be immediately cast into a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with fury, and the expression of his face was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times more than it was usually heated, and he ordered some of the mighty men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. These men were bound in their cloaks, their tunics, their hats, and their other garments, and they were thrown into the burning fiery furnace. Because the king's order was urgent, and the furnace overheated, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell bound into the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and rose up in haste. He declared to his counselors, Did we not cast 3 men bound into the fire? And they answered to the king, True, O king. He answered and said, But I see 4 men unbound and walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the appearance of the 4th is like a son of the gods. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the burning fiery furnace, and he declared, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out from the fire, and the satraps, the prefects, the governors, and the king's counselors gathered together and saw that the fire had not had any power over the bodies of those men. The hair of their heads was not singed, their cloaks were not harmed, and no smell of fire had come upon them. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants, who trusted in him, and set aside the king's command, and yielded up their bodies, rather than serve and worship any god except their own god. Therefore I make a decree, any people, nation, or language that speaks anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn from limb to limb, and their houses laid in ruins, for there is no other god who is able to rescue in this way. And the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. The first lesson we can learn from their actions in this chapter was that they had courage. And as I'm sure we know from our experience and from this passage, courage is only present when there's fear. And as we see in other places, fear can lead to sin. In Galatians 2:11, we see that Peter feared the Jews, and as a result, he sinned by being hypocritical. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, not exactly verse 5, but he feared the consequences of his affair with Bathsheba, so first he lied, and then he murdered Uriah the Hittite. Fear can definitely enforce the pressure we feel when we're tempted to sin. So before I go on to explain how they were able to conquer their fear, let's think of some fears that we face in our everyday lives as Christians. Maybe we fear being excluded, fear of looking weak, fear of a bad physical image in front of your friends. And we sin in these circumstances. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't sin, and their fear was death. But they had courage. Somehow, despite fear, they still did what was right. And as I'm sure we all know this quote, courage is not the absence of fear, but the ability to continue in spite of fear. And you have to wonder, if we fail everyday lives in those circumstances where we're faced with such minor fears, how could they have served God in the face of death? Even if you take out the factor of death that they're facing, the person who they are opposing was the king of the world at that time. No one defied the king. And to add on pressure and fear, all of the rest of the Jews, as far as we know, these are the only three that we know of who didn't bow down and worship, the rest of the Jews worshiped the golden image. All their friends had abandoned them, they're facing the king of the world, and facing death. Where did they find the courage? One of the things they understood was that worldly authority has no jurisdiction when it comes to God. This is something I'll go on to prove with Scripture in a second, but first we need to acknowledge that this is something that's indeed challenging for us to accept, because we definitely can challenge authority in our everyday lives if we're asked to do something that's not what God tells us to do. And of course, this is a given, authority can be intimidating. All of us who have been children, or basically everyone here, we know parents can be intimidating, people who work, your bosses can be intimidating, the big one, married people, your spouse can be intimidating, but it can be done. A good example, and where the Bible does state that worldly authority has no jurisdiction when it comes to God, is in Acts chapter 5, verses 27 through 29. And it reads, "When they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest questioned them, saying, 'We strictly charged you not to teach in his name. Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us.' But Peter and the apostles answered, 'We must obey God rather than men.'" Not, "We kind of want to obey you, but I guess God." No, we have to obey God. And this does take courage. Something that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would have drawn strength from, something that I draw strength from, is Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6, where it says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them. For it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you." So they still felt fear, but they trusted in God and were able to please him. So we have this point on paper. Trust God, be strong, and he'll be with you, and he'll save you no matter what. Right? Because doesn't our courage come from our faith? And if we have faith in that, then we should just have endless courage and never sin. We have to have faith that God will provide. No matter what happens, we cannot waver in our faith and dedication. But there's a catch. Our physical safety isn't guaranteed. Being faithful to God doesn't guarantee our safety from harm. In fact, there are plenty of very godly people that we know of who were killed, like Stephen in Acts chapter 7. He was stoned to death. In Acts chapter 8, Saul ravaged the church and killed many Christians. In Acts 12, James was killed. And of course, Paul, for God, was whipped, beaten with rods, stoned, shipwrecked, adrift at sea, frequently journeying, in danger from rivers, from robbers, from his own people, from the Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, from lack of sleep, hunger, thirst, cold, and exposure. So we can obviously face a lot of physical harm if we're doing stuff for God. So if we're strong and courageous, and he didn't protect these people, then how can we take faith in what Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6 says? Let's look at what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego do. Their response in Daniel chapter 3, verses 16 through 18, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Let's break down what they said. First, they said, we have no need to answer you in this matter. They didn't just defy the king of the world. They flat out ignored him. And then what they said next is the thing that's very interesting. They said, he is able to save us if he is willing from the fiery furnace. But if not, we still will not bow down and worship. So they knew that their physical safety wasn't guaranteed. They knew there was a very big chance that they could be burned alive in a fiery furnace. But the question still remains, does God really provide for us if we face all this physical harm? Deuteronomy 31:6 indeed says he will not leave you or forsake you, but if we die, are we forsaken? If you'll turn to Matthew chapter 19, verse 29, the verse that was read a few moments ago, it says, and everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my name's sake will receive a hundredfold and will inherit eternal life. Jesus' point here isn't give up your family and your land and I'll reward you. His point is if you give up physical things, even things that are important to you like your family or your land or things you work for his name, anything physical that we value, like their lives, in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's case, he'll provide for us spiritually. He will not forsake us spiritually ever. And we can take comfort in that. And we can know that like what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did, we can learn from them that no matter what happens to us, if we do what God wants us to do, we will never be separated from God. Trust in God to provide for you. Take comfort that no matter what happens, he will keep his promise to you. And like in Matthew chapter 19, he says, you will receive a hundredfold and will inherit eternal life. I know it was short, but the lesson is yours. If you are someone who has been a Christian and was worshiping God faithfully, but you've fallen away because you've sinned and there's fear in your heart and that caused you to sin, look at what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. Take comfort. Look in faith at their courage. And if they were able to not sin in the face of death, you should be able to not sin in your everyday life. If you're someone who is a Christian and has been living God's life exactly how he wants you to and haven't sinned, then great. Take this story and have it encourage you to continue doing the right thing. If you're someone who's not a Christian and hasn't come to God and is considering such a thing, but you fear certain fears in this life that might hold you back, do what God tells you to do and he'll provide for you. He tells you to repent, he tells you to be baptized, and he tells you to do his commandments. So if you need anything from us, please come forward as we stand and sing.